Lectureships are always an interesting venture. I know that they're a hard work of much labor intensive requirements. Appreciate the organization and the directorship of this lectureship. We still wonder why Tommy Hicks is the director, but we do appreciate Brother Hicks, appreciate the invitation by he and the eldership. When this topic was handed me or was delivered, I kind of sat back and thought, it's one of those topics you never really sit back in my mind and think about a whole lot, or as Brother Mosier prayed, something that just saddens us. And so looking through the material and thinking about how to deal with the subject matter, I hope that we have, as comprehensively as we can, dealt with this subject. There will be some overlap, I'm sure, with what has already been discussed. Let's talk about this in the time that we have and discuss, sadly, the children of the devil. The children of the devil are simply those that will be influenced by him. We need to understand that the devil is not a mere force, but a personal one. He is an angel, according to Job chapter 1, verse 6. According to 2 Peter 2, verse 4, he would be classified with those angels who had fallen. And Jude, verse 6. The devil, who is also called Satan, is indeed the arch enemy of God and his cause. I think Burton Kaufman gave a list of information identifying the devil that would be helpful. He said that it is plainly declared in the Holy Scriptures that Satan is actually a person, a being higher in the order of creation than man, but fallen from his first estate. Satan is held in awe even by angels and appears to have been cast out of his domain because of conceit and ambition. Satan is the enemy that sows tares, snatches the word out of men's hearts, and by means of countless snares and devices, takes men captive to do the devil's will. Nevertheless, Satan is restricted and limited. He does not share control of the universe with God and may not even tempt one little child of God more than the child is able to bear. Indeed, according to the Bible, Satan is the bearer of children and is the father of such. Simon the sorcerer had fallen into the bitterness of gall. He had fallen into the trap or the snare. Acts 8:23. Elymas the sorcerer in Acts 13:10 was indeed cast down by Paul and referred to as a child of the devil. Cain and others that go in his way are associated with the devil. That's not supposed to happen. Sorry. I thought our brethren knew where we were. In this chapter, though, we need to understand that we will not be discussing the nature or characteristics of demon possession. That's already been discussed, as I understand it, on yesterday's note or time frame. But we do want to talk about how one is not born a child of Satan, how one must indeed choose to become such, how the devil is a father. Again, one must choose to become a child of the devil. We'll talk about some of the characteristics as we have time of Satan's children, and then ask the poignant question, which one is it, a child of God or a child of the devil? Of course, Calvinism's doctrine, others, as it would be implied early on in the first century, evidently thought that they could continue in sin, that grace might abound, but certainly it is not the case, unless you desire to be a child of the devil. Calvin's doctrine of total depravity indicts children into Satan's stead. Because we die, everyone, the Calvinist would assert, generally speaking, take this and just turn this thing off. Sorry. That always aggravates me when I'm preaching. So we need to understand that indeed, one, as the Calvin would imply and indeed state, is not born a child of the devil. The only thing here that the Calvinist is right about is that we are all related, genealogically speaking, or by blood. According to Acts 17:26, the Apostle Paul clearly says that we of one race have all descended. But again, folks, sin or Satan's influence is not something that we inherit. It is not something that we automatically succumb to. We learn in the Bible early on that Cain and Abel, the offspring of Adam and Eve, were not born sinners. It is true that Cain was evidently highly influenced by Satan, but he was not born a sinner. As Judas Iscariot, the apostle who fell according to or by transgression, according to Acts 1:25, Cain likewise had a way in which he fell. We learn in the Bible in 1 John 3, verse 12, that there is a way of Cain, or Jude, verse 11. Cain's way was the wrong way. His way was one that was opposite of his brother's way. We learn early on that Abel was one that by faith became righteous before God. He is one that indeed had an appreciation for God, whose sacrifice then would have been pleasing because, again, by faith he offered such a sacrifice in Hebrews 11, verse 4. And so as the prophet Ezekiel clearly states in Ezekiel 18:19-20, yet say ye, according to some, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father, when the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them? He shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Sin is a choice, or it would be hard to classify it as transgression, such that then leads to a fall. It is a matter of influence then, and when such is succumbed to, then it becomes sin, and this, according to James, brings forth death. James 1:12-16. This again corresponds with what Moses recorded in Genesis 2:17 in chapter 3, verses 1 and following, how that God's grace has conditions. Indeed, in the garden, the perfect paradise of the garden, Adam and Eve, because of temptation, fell when they partook, they sinned, they transgressed God's law, and at that point became the followers of Satan because of their own lust, their own succumbing to their own desires. Because of sin then, which is an act or a matter of transgressing God's law, man then, we learn, sadly dies because of Satan. And so then it is at this point then that one becomes a follower of Satan rather than a follower of God. And so we learn that as Paul said in Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have chosen to sin, you see. And so unless the Calvinist can prove that babies by lust and temptation commit sin, then we will never concede to their false doctrine. But babies we know are born pure without sin. David was not born a sinner in Psalm 51 verse 5, though this passage is their sugar stick. We know that he was born into an environment with rampant sin. This passage again is a twist by the Calvinist. We must remember that sin is an act of violating God's law. If babies are born sinners, then babies are required to, by faith, obey the gospel. And we know that such is impossible. Babies have to develop, mature, and they have to become such that then can make responsible decisions and be held responsible for them. And so then we need to understand that, as John said, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. As he continues in 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. Children are not born into Satan's fold. They may be born into an environment that is nearly helpless, reprobate, most assuredly depraved, but there is still hope when a child is born into this world. When one is born into the world and bears the uninhibited ability to choose freely, to seek and to learn the truth, that child cannot aspire to do a greater deed. We often ask those silly questions like, what about that family over there on the island that's barren and there is no Bible? Well, you know, such may then cause us to be greater missionaries, to seek out and to save that which is lost. There is never then a stone we could cast at God and call him the one that causes us to sin. Somewhere down the line, someone made a choice to move around. And if they chose to move away from God, then that certainly would be a bad situation. But we need to be more impressed with the fact that all truth leads to the God of all truth. And that if truth indeed makes one free, as Jesus says, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, then indeed, as he says in John 17:17, the truth will sanctify us. It will separate us from sin. And so a person born in the image of God, created the crown of God's own creation, can again do no greater thing than to aspire to learn and to achieve truth in their life. And so a child is not born into sin. He must choose to be a follower of such. The devil, though, is a father. Jesus called attention to the fact that Satan was a father of the Jewish people of his day. John 8:44, John 8:41-45, and verse 47, he said that they did the deeds of their father. That was Satan. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye hear, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. You see again how lust is associated with the following of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. There's a little bit of information about the origin of the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. It was Elymas the sorcerer who caused Paul so much trouble, who was called a child of the devil by Paul. Again, 1 John 3:10, the apostle mentions the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. Those who are so persuaded, motivated by Satan's rebellion, are considered to be followers or offspring of him. We need to get our people to understand that rebellion is the cause of Satan. There are ways to live the Christian life. We ought to study more intently how the Bible teaches that even in the bonds of slavery in the first century, one could serve their master faithfully without rebellion. It was rebellion who led, again, those in the way of Satan. And so then those that are born along or so persuaded, guided by God's authority, are those that will walk in his light and continue in his sweet and sanctified fellowship. These are those that are or would be born anew, born again. This is the significance of being converted, according to John 3:3 and verse 5. 1 Peter 1:22 through verse 25, and James chapter 1:18 through 23. James tells us a lot in his first chapter. How again, lust leads to sin, and sin, when it brings forth its fruit, brings death. And then he tells us how to overcome and do not err. He says to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. That's how we're influenced, you see. Without the feast of God's word, without the word in our hearts, Colossians 3:16, there is no way that we will overcome Satan and not be a child of the devil. And so then, as it is clearly stated in the Bible, one must become a child of the devil by choice. Of course, all of this is to be understood as figurative language. We are not literally offspring of Satan. We are but influenced by him if we are a child of the devil. And so then we must understand that one must become a child of the devil by choice. It is our responsibility to respond to God's will, to receive his grace, his word, meekly. And when we have humbled ourselves, cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us, then indeed we have no concern or no worry insofar as our salvation is concerned. We know that God will protect us because he cares for us. God allows man, though, to be tempted, but he tempts no man, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, James 1:13. Every man, again, is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust. That's an interesting concept, an interesting principle. Everybody has lust. Everybody will have desires. The word lust is sometimes translated desire. And desires aren't always bad, but when they get in the way of God's will, they are bad. And we have to understand that when they cause us to violate God's will. But we all have lust. We are all tempted and drawn. And that's the problem. And we have to learn to identify those weaknesses, those desires in our own lives, and learn quickly how to cast those things away and rid our lives. And so that's why James simply but profoundly says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren," in James 1:16. Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan, and they chose to sin. They erred. Cain followed in the same manner after the works of Satan. He chose to sin. He erred too. The ramifications then of these actions were unalterable. Consider the actions, the sin of these individuals. Consider the choice Abraham and Sarah made with Hagar when Ishmael was born. Are we or are we not today suffering as a result of Ishmael's descendants? Are we not today in a conflict, in a struggle with Islam, with various fruits and works of the devil? These are, again, the works of children of Satan. And so we have to understand the consequences, the ramifications of such a following. And so then, let's look at some characteristics, perhaps, of Satan's children. Again, considering the example of Cain, we can do no better than look to him and consider him as a child of Satan. Cain is said to be of that wicked one, which is Satan, 1 John 3:12. He succumbed to the temptation of the devil, and Jude writes this, that woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, Jude verse 11. Because Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, Cain became angry, wroth, and thus was so motivated to murder Abel, his brother. You ever seen those characteristics develop in an individual? You ever seen someone with jealousy? You ever known someone that was just bitter, become angry, became wroth? We know that that leads to a bad thing, and here it led to murder. Well, these are characteristics of Satan's seed. According to both Peter and Jude, angels were able to sin. Thus, they had and have the ability to choose to either serve their Creator or rebel against him. Rebellion is then a characteristic of Satan's seed. Rebellion against God's authority is generally then the way of Satan. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they followed Satan. They became rebels. And such then were following Satan. Jesus said in Matthew 7:23, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The word iniquity here is to live in the condition without law, either because of ignorance of it or because of violating it, I don't feel bad any longer. That was Tommy Hicks's phone for all time. One, let's continue here. One that has contempt for and continues in the act of continually violating God's law. We're talking about iniquity here, Matthew 7:23. One that continues in this state of lawlessness, whether ignorant of it or continuing to rebelliously violate God's law, is one that will then produce the characteristics of Satan. And so John tells us, 1 John 3:4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So we need to know that sin, generally, profoundly, is the characteristic of Satan's seed. Maybe that will impress upon us the fact that when we sin, we are following Satan. And such would be classified as Satan's offspring if we continue in that state. Folks, that in and of itself helped me to realize why sin was so grievous. Why I don't want to be classified as a child of the devil. Do you? I'm sure you don't. And so we need to know that we must follow God and not the devil. One is either a child of the devil or a child of God. This does not mean, though, that we are without sin or we will not commit sin if we are a child of God. It simply means that we are not servants of such. We need to understand that principle in Christianity. There is a difference between committing an act of sin, repenting from it, and doing away with it in our life, and being a servant of sin. If we could have a greater appreciation for our brethren, I think in and of itself, this principle itself will help us enjoy our sweet fellowship. But it requires a reciprocal relationship. We both have to understand our responsibility, our priority to sin. When it creeps up, repent of it. Do away with it. Don't become a servant of such. Children of the devil fall prey and continue in darkness. And that is no enjoyable venture. There are manners in which we are to deal with those things. Discipline such in the Bible. But children of God do not serve Satan habitually, but walk in the light of God's truth. 1 John 1:5-10, 1 John 2:1-4. There is a detail on how to overcome sin in our lives. I've been thinking about this. We often pray. It's very common. We were taught to pray this way basically by listening to people pray. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our many sins. Why don't we say it this way? Forgive us of our sin as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, as we confess our sin, then we will be forgiven of our sin. See, it's in that state of serving Christ, the light will expose the darkness. And that's when we will be forgiven. I struggle with the idea of us always being many sinners or committing many sins. I don't want to be known as such because I'm not a servant of sin. I want to be known as a servant of light, not darkness. And so then we need to appreciate what Paul says in Romans 6:15-18. What then, shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Children of the devil, children of Satan, have no regard for righteousness. Paul states, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Romans 6:20. Now, I know a lot of good brethren who sin, like myself, from time to time, but I've never considered them servants of unrighteousness. You see the difference there. We need to appreciate, then, who we are. To serve sin is to serve Satan. To serve or walk in God's light is to be a child of God. And so, then, in the first chapter of the book of Romans, we have various characteristics. You might do good to turn there, Romans 1, 18 through 32. Look through those characteristics. These are societies represented in our own environment today, principally speaking, characteristics of Satan's class. They are individuals that begin by not being thankful. I find that interesting. Raising children, that may be the first thing we must get them to do, is to be appreciative, thankful. I wonder sometimes in our material world if we have inundated our children with so much materialism that they are unable to conceive of thankfulness. We've clouded them, confused them. Well, just note again that these people first were not thankful. They became vain in their imaginations. They professed themselves to be wise, but became fools. These institutions of higher education that teach us to supposedly think outside the box. I do not like that phrase because I cannot think outside of God's sphere. My imagination is governed by this world in which He created. I must learn to be thankful and think within this box, within this sphere, and be content in whatsoever state I find myself in. For in this, being thankful is doing and keeping the will of God. We've got to learn that, folks. And so then that will keep us from having these kinds of characteristics. These would change the glory of God into corruptible things. I think about our simple worship. How when we come together upon the first day of the week and worship God in spirit and in truth, how simple it is. But today we have people that want to change all that up. And they want to corrupt it and make it something that it's not. And being wise, the Bible says, they become fools. Again, is it perhaps because they're not thankful for what they have? Appreciative for what they simply have? They change the truth of God into lies. They worship the created more than the Creator. Because of this, God will allow them to continue, but only for a time. These kinds of people are filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness. You see how they're the servants of unrighteousness, Romans 6:20. Is that what the church is becoming today? Are we again just the opposite? They are those that are full of envy. Murderers, debate, deceit, malignity. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. Paul continues and says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Reminds me of Hebrews 11:25, where Moses refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, rather to serve God, to be a part of God's people, and to be again a child of God. Do these characteristics sound or look familiar today? The Lord's church, we see these things today. Where are we relative to our servitude? Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? That's the real question. And this determines our character, who we are. Are we the culture of Satan or God? It is one or the other. There is no middle ground. There is no gray matter. It's black or white, a child of God or a child of the devil. If there's gray matter involved here, folks, we've got a problem with conversion. We've got a problem with that distinct statement of Christ when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Is that person that obeys the gospel a Christian obeying that gospel who needs to grow and develop, but no less now a servant of righteousness or a servant of sin? We need to understand that there is no middle ground. And so then, a child of God or a child of the devil, which one is it? As certainly implied, there is only one state, a child of the devil or a child of God. Which one will it be for you or for me? In the Bible, There again is no middle ground. The church at Laodicea was referred to as lukewarm. The Lord said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth because thou art such. There is no time for idleness in the Lord's church. There's no time for idleness as a Christian. There's no time to stop fighting. Our fight must be carried to the enemy. If we are lukewarm or fluctuating between a torpor and a fervor of love, the Lord will spit us out, reject us. And this reminds us again of his words above. Matthew 7:23, he says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We need to remind ourselves that we cannot serve God and mammon at the same time, for you'll either hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve two masters, Luke 16:13. One of the most wretched, heart-wrenching matters in the Lord's church to deal with is this classification of so-called Christians. Folks, to catch my breath here for a second, my time's running out and that's good, but the short time that I have labored, it's not those people that are blatant sinners that hate your guts that bother me. It's the lukewarm, apathetic, non-convicted individuals in the church who constantly sit there and take up space and refuse to hold up the hands of those that are faithful, trying to carry the cause to the world. Please, don't be a child of the devil. Be a child of God. Sadly, children of the devil are in the majority. Children of God are in the minority. But God does not look at us as haphazard Christians or lukewarm, but unfaithful, if that is our state. I don't think he looks at us as liberal or conservative, radical rightist or liberal leftist, but either right or wrong. I'd rather ask you that question. Are you right or are you wrong? Let's quit dilly-dallying. Christ and his authority, his words, his deeds must be in our heart. Are you a child of God or are you a child of Satan? I thank you for your kind attention.